open your Bibles this morning to the book of Job, the 41st chapter. Job chapter 41, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 596. That's 596. Beginning with verse 14, we'll read responsively through verse 22. And the 22nd verse is the text verse. And let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are as pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another, they stick together, that they cannot be sundered. By his knee seems a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as out of the seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. And let's read together the text verse. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. And let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to a place this morning where our needs can be met. You know, Father, there's a lot of suffering going on in the lives of many of our people. Some are sick. Some have gotten the terrible news that they have a limited time upon this earth. And some are bereaved. Others are sad. We pray that you just use the message this morning in our preacher to touch the need of every heart. With man, this is impossible. With thee, O God, all things are possible. Open our hearts and our minds to the Word and help us to receive from thee our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you listen to that, it's hard to get your mind on your sermon. I ask you to listen this morning as carefully as I try to preach. I told Ms. Hiles the other day, there's never a day, and I mean it, never, a single day, to what my heart is not broken about something. I told her it's an amazing thing how cheerful I am, how much I enjoy life. This last week, every day this week, I heard of some tragic heartache in the life of somebody. Never a day but what under my door comes some notes, or in my mail comes a letter, or letters telling me about heartache and heartbreak. One reason is I know so many people. So many folks love me, and I love so many people. As I said a moment ago, every single day this week, once or more than once, I'm not talking about somebody I've heard of. I'm talking about somebody I love dearly. It's facing a heartache just about a week or two ago. One day, message came that Brother Bill Burr back there has prostate cancer. Most of the evening, you didn't know that. I want you to pray for him. He's been through his bypass surgery, and now he's facing another battle. And that broke my heart. The next day, word came that Walter Mitchell, one of our fine men for all these years here, was facing bypass surgery. And the next day, word came from California that Brother Wally Davis, one of our graduates from our college and a fine evangelist, had been found to have cancer of the pancreas, serious, very serious cancer, and was in the valley of death almost and still struggling. And it's that way all the time. No wonder I have a hard time not preaching to broken hearts every Sunday morning. I preached this morning that one little line we read a while ago, sorrow is turned into joy. I hope you'll listen. You don't need the sermon today. You'll need it someday. And you'll not know when you're going to need it. It may be tomorrow that you have the pain that'll send you the doctor that'll give you the news that you have cancer. It may be tomorrow that you get the word that a dear loved one has been killed in an auto accident. It may be tomorrow or today, this afternoon, when the news will come to you that'll break your heart. Please let me help you this morning. Father, I have only one desire today, a desire I always have, and that is to help the people I love more than any group of people in the whole world. Weeping people, suffering people, heartbroken people. I pray you to help me this morning to help them to feel first like they've been to church, and second, like when they came to church, they got what they needed. May it be so today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading my Bible. There it was, right in front of me. I knew the truth, but I had never seen it in the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. I'd read this verse time and time again, for I read the Bible time and time again. By the way, a while ago, we honored my mother, memory of my mother-in-law, father-in-law. My mother-in-law read the Bible through every year, year after year after year. Well, I was reading the Bible of the night, and there it was. There it was. I looked at it, and I read, sorrow is turned into joy. Sorrow is turned into joy. And then, you know, we read the Bible so glibly, and we decide something on the basis of, well, we don't examine every word, and it hit me. What it doesn't say. It doesn't say sorrow is exchanged for joy. It says sorrow is turned into joy. What does that mean? That means the sorrow becomes the joy. No, I'm not saying this morning that sorrow, God takes sorrow and says, I want to swap you joy for sorrow. You give me your sorrow, I'll give you joy in exchange. Doesn't say at all. God says, I'll take your sorrow and make that sorrow into joy. So then sorrow, don't leave me now, sorrow is the material from which joy is made. Recycling, if you please. God takes sorrow, recycles it, and makes joy out of the material called sorrow. So, God's formula is not, follow me, sorrow, enduring, obedient, a deliverance, and joy. That's not God's formula. That's what we think. We think, and by the way, it might not hurt you to listen this morning, and that's you teenagers also. Might not hurt you at all. And it may help you. In fact, if you don't get a thing out of the sermon, it'd be good for you to have enough character to listen. But now listen to me. It does not say God's order is sorrow, endurance, or enduring, deliverance, and joy. For deliverance does not bring joy. Deliverance brings happiness. Because that's circumstantial. If you're delivered from your sorrow, then your circumstances change. And the circumstances have caused you to delight. And that's happiness. So, it may be sorrow, enduring, deliverance, and happiness. But it is not sorrow, enduring, deliverance, and joy. For deliverance does not bring joy. Sorrow brings joy. It does not say, I'll make your deliverance into joy. It says, I'll make your sorrow into joy. So let me give you God's formula. If you don't get a thing else, don't miss this. God's formula is not sorrow, enduring, deliverance, and joy. God's formula is sorrow, enduring joy. What am I saying? I'm saying when the endurance stops, the joy stops. Because when the pain stops, that makes you happy. But when you can endure the pain, that gives you joy. So the enduring is the joy. Did you hear what I said? The enduring is the joy. So no sorrow, no enduring. No enduring, no joy. So hallelujah for sorrow. Glory to God for sorrow. Because if there is no sorrow, there is no enduring. If there is no enduring, there's joy. So joy comes from enduring. Enduring comes from sorrow. So that you may be happy without enduring sorrow, but you'll not have joy because the Bible says that sorrow is the material from which joy is made. Just carefully. Joy is not, I hope you'll get this. I'd like to reach out and grab you. I heard about the little girl misbehaving in church, and the father said, "Be quiet, honey, folks are sleeping." I know how she felt. I'm sorry to wake you up, but we should get this. Follow me carefully. Joy is not saying, "I made it." That's happiness. If I come to sorrow and I endure that sorrow and then come over here on the other side and sorrow is gone and I've been delivered from sorrow, glory to God, hallelujah, I've been delivered, I'm happy. But if I stay in that sorrow and endure that sorrow, God transforms that sorrow into joy. And the very sorrow itself becomes the material that from which joy is made. So joy is not saying, "I made it." Joy is saying, "I am making it." Joy is not saying, "I took it." It's saying, "I'm taking it." Joy is not saying, "I hung in there." Joy is saying, "I'm hanging in there." Joy is not saying, I got back on my feet. Joy is saying, "I'm still on my feet. The devil is lost." By the way, this is from the book of Job. And Job was a joyous man. He wasn't a happy man. He never got those same 10 kids back. He never got back what he lost. He got back other things, but I'm saying that Job endured, and the enduring itself was the joy. If you've never hung in there without deliverance, you don't know what joy is. So joy is, "I am making it." Joy is, "I am taking it." Joy is, "I'm hanging in there." And let me say this morning, there are 100 people in this room. I wish I could sit down in my office and talk to you privately for a while. And I wish I could just say to you, "Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there." And after a while, the hanging in there itself is going to give you joy. "I'm taking it. I'm making it. I'm on my feet. I haven't given up. I haven't turned back." That, ladies and gentlemen, is God making sorrow into joy. Deliverance, as I said, brings happiness. Endurance brings joy. Illustration. Don't miss this. Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi. Now they're in jail. Their feet are tied in stocks. They're in fetters, if you please. They're in jail. Now in jail, enduring it, they sang praises to God. When they got delivered, there's no record of them singing praises to God. They sang praises. Why? Because the joy was not... Now, I'm sure they're glad to get out of jail. But when they got out of jail, they said, "Hot dog." Whoopee! But in the jail, with their feet and hands tied, and they were singing praises to God, they were having
joy. Why? Because they were having sorrow, and sorrow is the only material out of which joy can be made. So if today you have a burden, I wish I could sit down in my study and talk to you individually. I can't do it, but I'm thinking about you in my mind, in my heart right now. Name after name after name after name after name in my heart right now. Let me tell you, beloved people of God, let me tell you, if you're going through a tough time in your life, praise God, you've got the material out of which joy can be made. Hang in there. Tough it out.
Now, wait a minute. 2 or 3 years later, Paul is back in jail. He's in Rome in jail now. He was in Philippi. Don't miss this. He writes a letter back to those people in Philippi. No doubt the jailer that got saved in that jail when the earthquake came, no doubt he was a member of that church that read and heard this letter read. He is in jail. By the way, in Rome there was no earthquake. In Rome there was no deliverance. Paul knew he was there to say. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. He knew he was not. Now, in Philippi, he got out of jail, but they did not sing praises. They sang praises in jail. But when Paul got in jail in Rome 2 or 3 years later, he's still singing. You read that little book of Philippians. It's Paul's joyous book. It's Paul's refreshing book. It's not heavy like Ephesians. It's not rebuking like Galatians. It's not scolding like 1 Corinthians. It's not teaching like 2 Corinthians. It is not prophecy like Thessalonians. It is a book of happiness, joy, delight, and thrill. Paul calls them his joy and his crown. I'm saying, now then, he is in jail, not to be delivered. There is no earthquake this time. There is no deliverance this time. He's in jail till he dies, but he still has joy. Why? Because sorrow, enduring sorrow, brings joy. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Apostle Paul said, count it all joy when you fall into manifold testing or temptation. That's why it was said of the apostles, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing, never counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'm saying this morning, I know you're having it tough, and I wish you weren't, but if you are having it tough, seize upon it.
It is the endurance that brings the joy. For it is the sorrow from which joy is made. Let me give you a summary statement. Don't miss this statement. What cannot be cured must be endured. What cannot be cured must be endured. Now thank God for what can be cured, that brings happiness. Thank God for what cannot be cured, that must be endured, because that brings joy. Oh, I wish I could get you this. What cannot be cured must be endured. Listen carefully to this. What must be endured can be the cure. What cannot be cured must be endured. What must be endured can be the cure. How many people do I know who've gone through life complaining, unhappy, griping about the weather, griping about the house, griping about the clothes, griping about the car, griping about the husband, griping about their wife, griping about the kids. Nothing's ever right. All of a sudden they come to a tunnel in their life of sorrow and heartache and sadness and brokenheartedness. And they hang in there and they stay in there. And there, all of a sudden, there is delight. Why? Because there's a certain kind of blessed God. I made me feel proud of myself, because I'm still in here, buddy. I'm still going. I'm still taking it, boy. Keep on hitting, devil. All you want to hit, I can take the biggest blows you got. And that, ladies and gentlemen, gives real joy.
So don't look for suffering, but don't run from it. And endure it. Look your sorrow in the face and say, I can take you.
look your cancer in the face and say with Martin Evans, you are in for the fight of your life. Look your loneliness in the face and say, I'm still on my feet. Look your heartache in the face and say, welcome, friend. Now I can have joy. And look your sorrow in the face and say, look at me, you rascal. You think you're going to ruin my life? You think you will knock me, out? You're not going to do it. I am going to look to my God, and my God's going to transform you into joy for sorrow. You are the material from which joy is made, and I'm bound to have joy. Now, I may not have the happiness of being delivered, but I can have the joy of toughing it out because I'm not delivered. So sing in the prison. Sing in the prison of the hospital room. Sing in the prison of the rest home. Sing in the prison of a broken heart. Sing in the prison of broken dreams. Sing in the prison of blasted hopes. Sing in the prison of a broken heart, destroyed plans. Sing, for in your prison of sorrow, now there is the opportunity, if you so choose, to have joy. Hear me carefully. If the cloud lifts, enjoy the happiness. If the cloud stays, enjoy the joy. My good friend, Lester Roloff, a real hero of the faith, a man that I knew when he was a kid preacher, for any of us who knew outside Waxahachie, Texas, I knew him well. Before anybody knew us, I used to call him every Monday morning and talk to him about what kind of day we had in our small churches on Sunday. Lester Roloff decided that he was going to start a home for boys and a home for girls. The state of Texas said, we'll have to approve your home, your teachers, your curriculum, your subject matter. And Lester Roloff said, the state of Texas has no right to meddle in a Christian school. And he's right. I'm not talking now about safety matters and health matters. I'm talking about doctrinal matters and operational matters. It's interesting to me, the government wants the church to stay out of the government, then government, you stay out of the church. Separation of church and state does not mean the government won't meddle with the church. It means the church is not supposed to meddle with the government. So they say. Lester Roloff said, they said, you've got to be accredited. That means that their teachers in their schools had to go to these heathen schools and get degrees. Well, why start a Christian school if you've got to make it like the heathen schools? I remember years ago, we got a letter from the state of Indiana. I said, you've got to be accredited with the State Board of Education. It's how about Howells Anderson College? You've got to be accredited with the State Board of Education or an accrediting institution. Listen to me. So what did you do with the letter? I have a little round thing right beside my chair. I filed it in that round file. We got another one. Dr. Evans will remember this. We got another one. Said you've got to be accredited with the State Board of Education or an accrediting association. But what did you do with this? Well, that one letter was a little lonesome. So I deposited the second and kept on. And finally, we had to go to court over it, and bless God, we won the case. Because they said a Bible college has no need to be governed and operated by the state of Indiana. But Roloff fought the battle. Now, wait a minute. Months after, he went to jail over it. He risked his ministry over it. He fought the battle. What? And by the way, many of the freedoms we enjoy today are because of one Lester Roloff. And then after years, I guess 20 years, he won the battle. Within a few days, his plane went down, and he went to heaven. I wasn't surprised, because Lester Roloff was a man filled with joy while he was in the battle. When he got delivered, he could have been happy, but he no longer had the joy of saying, hit me again. Okay. Oh, I like that. Come on, old smutty face. Suck me again. Come on, heartache. Try to knock me down again. I'll hang in there. And you listen to me. I don't care if you're fighting an enemy. I don't care if you're fighting weakness. I don't care if you're fighting loneliness. I don't care if you're fighting a broken heart. I don't care if you're fighting cancer. I don't care whatever it is. You hang in there. I promise you, you'll be so pleased with yourself because you did not quit. You hung in there, and you'll have a joy you could never have had apart from the suffering and sorrow. God did not want us to roll out to trade His joy of enduring for the happiness of having endured. I know a preacher who fought the American Baptist Convention for 10 years in the courts. Courageously fought them for 10 years. And during that time, he was hanging in there. He wasn't complaining, wasn't doing far for himself. For 10 years, he fought in the courts of our land the tyranny of the American Baptist Convention. And he was a man of joy. And then he won the battle and fell into sin and wrecked his ministry. Why? His joy was gone when the battle was over. I know a preacher in New England who fought the state for the freedom of his church, stood on a steps of the state capitol and declared so much as if to say, give me liberty or give me death, and courageously fought it. And he had a joy and a thrill. Why? He knew he was doing what was right. And there is no joy to compare with knowing you did what and are doing what is right to do. And then he won the battle. And then quit the ministry. You know why? Victory is not the material from which joy is made. Victory is the material from which happiness is made. Suffering is the material from which joy is made. God said, He, sorrow, is turned into joy. Magically. Miraculously. Like Jesus turned the loaves and fishes into enough to feed the 5,000. Like He turned the water into wine. He takes your sorrow. He takes your illness. He takes your broken heart. Listen, I'm not telling you what I read in the book. I haven't read a book on this except this book right here. That's the only book I've read. I know what I'm talking about. Now, don't you go around looking for sorrow. Don't go around hitting folks in the nose, you'll be in a battle. But listen carefully. When it comes, don't you run. Oh, I could. I'm seeing so many faces. But now, I see Joe Myhouse sitting over here. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Ms. Evans, is she back there this morning? Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Told her 3 years ago she came to have her last Women's Spectacular. I said, let's set the dates for the next one. She said, that's silly. Won't be in the next one. I said, not if you don't set the dates, I won't. We set the dates and she laughed. She had her third one since then. We're planning to have another next year. I told the ladies, Wednesday night, Ms. Evans can't go to heaven. They don't want her up there. But we want her here. And don't you tell me she can't look back over these 3 years. I thought 15 years probably. Don't you tell me she can't look back over these years and find a peace of soul where she said, I stayed in there. I kept on going. I didn't turn back. Let me say it again. Don't you run looking for enemies. You won't have to. Just do what's right. They'll come looking for you. Don't you run looking for enemies. And don't you wish you could suffer. And don't you figure out ways to make yourself suffer. That's foolishness. But
when adversity taps you on the shoulder and says it's your time, and it will. Heartache punches you on the shoulder, and by the way, you don't know when it's going to happen. And it punches you on the shoulder and it says it's your time. You look heartache in the face and say you picked a pretty formidable opponent this time. Because I'm going to go down to Dr. Jesus. And Dr. Jesus is going to, he's a magician. He can turn sorrow into joy. And so brokenhearted one, lonely one, sick one, suffering one, sad one, heavy-hearted one, I'm sorry. I don't want you to suffer. But since you are suffering, and since there's nothing you can do about it, you're suffering square, as Dr. Gary says, in a God-given eyeball. And say, you found a pretty tough opponent this time. Because I am going to hang in there. And in hanging in there, I'm going to find joy. I would love for you to find happiness. I'd love for you to be delivered, like Paul and Silas delivered. But let me say again, they sang praises to God in jail. They did not sing praises to God, delivered from jail. And 2 or 3 years later, in jail again, the song of God was still in the heart, in the breast, and the tongue of the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he took sorrow and he said, you listen to me, sorrow. You go ahead and launch your biggest bomb and shoot your biggest ammunition. But I am not going to give up. I'm going to hang in there. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll look in the mirror one day and you'll look at yourself and you'll say, bless God, I did it, and I'm still doing it. And your sorrow will be turned into joy. Would you bow your heads, please?
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Let's pray. Father, we probably don't have a very good idea as to how fortunate we are to be here.